promised us that he would be our counselor. A mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father and would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. Goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing. More than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
All right, thank you. Let's stand, if you are able, for the reading of the scripture this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to start looking a little series about our that has to do with our theme, Making a Difference. But we're going to start Mark chapter 5. Actually, this is something, a form of which I spoke in the college this week, and I just felt like I should switch and use the same story. I think it'll help us. Mark chapter 5. Of course, our theme this year is making a difference. And what do you mean by making a difference? Making a difference in people's lives. I mean, you can put it so many different ways, but basically that's it right there. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read 20 verses here, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there came out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send unto us the swine that we may enter into them." Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for what you do in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see how you want us to take what you do for us and share and encourage the same thing for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read another verse to you before we get started. Luke chapter 8, verse 35, the Gospel of Luke's account of this. It says, "Then they that went out to see what was done came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Of course, our theme this year is making a difference, and I truly want us to get it in our mind that we need to all of us be an encouragement and a help to others. The verse there, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." If all of us look back at our lives, we can look back at somebody who made a difference in our life. And I pray that this year, as we get into the year, as we go on, that we would make a conscious decision to do the same for others. Many years ago, the USA Today took a poll, and they asked people this question: if you could get in contact with God directly and ask him one question and get an immediate reply, what would you ask? The number one question that came from the people that they surveyed was this: what is my purpose here on earth? People wanted to know what the reason they're on this earth. What is it all about? The sad truth is that most people don't have any real purpose. We just go through the routine, getting up, getting through the day, trying to get our responsibilities fulfilled, getting to work, getting home, and then the next day getting up and doing it all over again. And by the way, life is about doing those things. But it's not just about those things. Maybe we try to just find some time to do some of the things that we want, to have a little bit of excitement or have a little bit of that Instagram type of life. Not that people don't care about their families or the things that are important, but they have trouble looking and seeing the entire meaning behind all of it, the purpose behind all of it, particularly those who are not saved. People think about things that matter, and will it matter when my life is over and I stand before God? And I tell you today that it will. In our text, we see a man here who had big problems. He was demon-possessed. Jesus comes to Gennesaret, to the Gadarenes, and as soon as he gets out of the ship, here comes this demon-possessed man, just front and center, comes right to him. He had all the problems that a man in his condition would have. Think about it. Living in a graveyard. He had a supernatural strength that was used to give him his freedom. In other words, he couldn't be controlled. He was even hurting himself and cutting at his flesh. Self-infliction. But as Jesus shows up, the demons know who Jesus is, and they kind of get an idea that their time might be up. And so they come to Jesus Christ really out of self-preservation. Jesus finds out that he already knew, but he's asking for our sake, that there was a legion. There were many of these demons in this man. There was enough of them that when Jesus did kick them out, that they're like, can we go into the swine? And there was 2,000 of them, swine. And the devils go into all the swine, so there was at least 2,000 of them, and they run the swine down a steep embankment and into the ocean, and they all drown. By the way, the people that were there did not like that, and they wanted Jesus to leave when they really saw what was happening out. By the way, they were Jews. They weren't supposed to have swine, okay? I don't know if they knew that. That was an unclean animal. And Jesus kind of, by the way, they lost a lot. Someone said, when I was a kid, we used to eat the little things in a can called deviled ham. How many remember those? That was the first deviled ham right there. They all ran down into the ocean, and they were done. So they kicked Jesus as leaving. But as Jesus is leaving, this, put yourself in this man's shoes. His life, it was a mess, and all the nonsense and drama that was going on. And Jesus is leaving, and he's like, I want to be with him. Right. And so he runs up and says, Jesus, I want to go with you. But Jesus would not give him leave to go with him. Jesus says, you know what? I have something else for you. I have something different. Verse 19, he says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, said, you ain't coming, but said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done on thee, for, and hath had compassion on him. Jesus is telling him, I have something more than you, for you. Something more than just kicking the demons out of your life. Something more than you just following around. He wasn't going to be one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He says, I have something more for you to do. Go and tell great things that have happened to you. Jesus did great things for the man. And Jesus wanted that man to go back to his town and start there. And by the way, the guy did. He went and started publishing everywhere what God had done for him. Amen. Let me say this. God has done great things for us too. And so this morning, in the brief few minutes, I want us to understand that. I want you to understand one of the main reasons. Outside of the fact that of course, he did not want us to go to hell and he wants to save us. Outside of that, what are one of the great reasons that God does great things for us? I want us to understand why God helps us. And to do that this morning, we're going to answer three brief questions. First of all, I want us to answer the question, this is the starting point, how did God help us? If we're going to go and be like this man and fulfill the purpose that God has for us, why he helped us. First of all, I think we need to understand, how did God help us? God helped us in several ways, and I think too often we forget about it. First of all, God helped us through saving us, through salvation. Listen, if you are saved, if there was a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ, that was a great thing he did for you right there. And by the way, if that's all he did for us, that would be pretty good. But we're going to see he did more for us. But it starts with our salvation. And I think way too often we forget about that. I think way too often we get too comfortable in the fact, yeah, I know, I'm saved. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on there, buddy. That's a big deal. You realize you were on your way to hell? Do you realize that you, and when I say you, I'm throwing myself in that group, us, we were rebels against God? We chose to go our own way. We chose to live our own life. We chose to sin and spit in God's face, and God wanted to do something about it, and he did. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He saved us. Thank God that he saved you. By the way, don't ever forget about that. We get so caught up like, well, things aren't going well. This or that is going. Hold on. Are you still saved? Start from that point and go forward. But God saved us. You know what else he's done for us? He's helped us through studying. I like what they see. They come back into the thing and they see this man sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was there to get a little bit more than just salvation. He didn't just say, hey, the demons are gone, thank you, and take off and go his own way. He went back to the same person who kicked the demons out of him, and he sits at his feet. What does it mean when someone sits at his feet? What did that mean? Well, it means he was submitting to him. He was saying, hey, you are the one who's in charge. You are the master. That's the place of submission. I'm not just a saved and I don't just have the demons out of me, but I want to find out what you have for me. It's also a place of scripture where we would learn. When you sit, you know, we say that sometimes, you know, they were sitting at the feet of somebody. That doesn't mean maybe literally. Now, he literally was. That doesn't mean literally. That means I'm there to learn what you have for me. You know what the Bible is all about? It's God giving us what we need to get us through this life. It's about giving us what we need to understand what God wants from us in this life. And he left us the word of God, and he wants us to learn that. Thank God that we can learn what God has for us today. What else did God do for us? We learn how did God help us. He helped us through sanctification. What does that mean? It's funny. When they go back, they see the man sitting. It says, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the next word is, clothed. Now, what does it mean by clothed? Well, because before, he was not clothed. He was in the tombs and ripping his clothes off, and he was just out of control. He had a supernatural strength. But when they saw that he was clothed, that was an outward evidence that there was something different inwardly to him. Now he's all cleaned up. Now they can see, you know what? There is something different. He's starting to change. And by the way, thank God when he saves us, he also wants to change our lives. God wants to do, he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He says, now you're saved. Now you're going to be different. I have a way better life for you. I have something better. But that's going to involve being changed. And thank God for that. God changes us. Now, we have to want to change, and we have to be willing to go through the process. But before we were saved, we didn't have the power to have lasting, spiritual, life-giving change in our life. That comes as a result of meeting Jesus Christ. I know there were even habits in my life, Brother Machado, before I was saved, I didn't like. And I'm like, I want to change that. And I couldn't. I struggled with it. But it seems that those sinful habits, even the ones that irritated me before I was saved, after I was saved, and I'm like, I want to live for God, and I want to do the right thing, it seems like I was able to get those in order. Why? Because now we have God's power inside of us. Now we have a book that helps us to learn how to do those things. God saved us so he can change us. And then another thing, way that God helps us is through security. It says he was clothed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed. And I like this. And in his right mind. I wish some of us would get in our right mind. Amen? How are you, Raul? There was a peace about him. He didn't have that before. Before, he was running around in the graveyard, no clothes on, cutting his flesh. And if they tried to bind him, he just easily broke through the bounds. This guy was out of complete control. And now here he is, peacefully. And they could tell his mind was back. There was an attitude that was different in him. Do you want peace? Peace comes from knowing God. Peace comes from having that relationship with God. Peace comes from as a result of the salvation we experience through Jesus Christ. By the way, if I didn't know God and the world in which we live, we wouldn't have a whole lot of peace. Things are getting worse, but you know what? For the Christian, things can always be getting better. We can't control what's going on out there, but we can control what's going on in here through the Word of God and through the salvation which we experience. God's done a lot for us. God's done a lot for us. But that begs the next question. Why does God help us? That goes back to the USA Today poll. What is my purpose in this life? Yes, God wanted us to be able to go to heaven. I understand that. I'm not discounting that. That was it. Okay? We would not go to heaven if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We would not get there. I understand that. Yes, he loved us and wanted to intervene on our behalf. But there's way more to it than that. You see, God did not just save us to save us. He didn't just say, you know, I was here and you came to me and I saw you and I had to do something and now the demons are, you're done. He says, no. I got something for you to do. You need to go tell others. Go tell how great things the Lord hath done for him. You see, he just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Let me just hang out with Jesus. I'm calm now and you were here and I'll just hang with you. Jesus said, no. I got another purpose for you. God doesn't just clean us up to be trophies that are displayed, right? You ever win trophies? You know, our kids, when they were growing up, they were in our school, you know, they'd win trophies and stuff, and they'll have them up on their shelves or whatever. And, you know, every now and then I go in, it's like, you got to dust those things. Okay, you know, they're getting dirty. We're not a trophy. Okay, trophies are whatever. I remember the first year that I ran our sports program, I was looking for someone to coach a girls' volleyball team, and no one would do it, so I got stuck doing it. I mean, I got to do it. I volunteered. And our girls' volleyball team was bad, Brother Bichardo. It was embarrassing. And to be honest with you, the first few games, I didn't put a lot of effort into it. I'm kind of like, whatever. But there was just something about, we lost, and this, I don't mean this to be sexist, but we lost a game, and the other coach was pregnant, and I'm like, I just didn't like losing. And so I started, and we actually shocked everybody, and we won our league, and we won our championship tournament. And they worked hard, Brother Bichardo. They worked really hard. I remember we got in my van to come home. We had just won the tournament. We're going home, and I pulled out, and the volleyball trophy fell. And it had a picture of a girl with her arm like this, and it snapped her arm off. So now the girl's like this, no arm. Like, that lasted 10 minutes. But, you know, we're not just some trophy to be displayed. I'm saved. No, God wants to deploy us to do a work. God said, I didn't save you to sit around and look good. For some of you, that'd be a struggle. But I didn't just save you to stand around and look good. I have something I want you to do. Go out on my behalf and tell people what's going on. I like that verse in Deuteronomy. As the children of Israel, after their disobedience, were ready to go back into Canaan, he reminds them, he says, listen, I brought you out that I might bring you in. He said, I didn't just bring you out of Egypt to bring you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt because I have something for you in Canaan. It all works together. And God saved us because he has things he wants us to do. And I'll just be honest with you. Those things he wants us to do revolve around making a difference in other people's lives. Amen. How do we do that? He wants us to be a witness. He told this cleaned up man to go be a witness to his hometown, his friends, his family, and anybody who would listen and tell the great things that God had done for him. Could you imagine? I'm pretty sure they heard about what was going on in his life. We stay away from him. There's something big time wrong with him. Maybe some of them came down sometimes and tried to visit him in the tombs, and it's like, the guy's got no clothes on. The guy's taking rocks and he's cutting himself. And if we try to help him and restrain him, he breaks through as if it's nothing. It's like, this guy is crazy. There is something wrong. And could you imagine that day he came walking home? How are you doing? Yeah, they probably backed up a little. You know, demons have supernatural strength. You know that, right? Remember, I like the story in the book of Acts where Paul and them had cast some demons out, and Peter had cast them out, and these guys hear it and say, we want to do that too. And these, I think there were seven brothers, and they went into this one man's house that was demon-possessed and said, hey, you know Paul and Jesus, the ones that are talking, I want you get out of there. And the demon says, possessed man says, I know Paul, I know Jesus, who are you? And the demon-possessed man, who was not Bruce Lee, beat up all seven of them and sent them away. He wounded and clothes were ripped. So they see this man coming into town, and they're probably backing up. And they're like, what is going on? He goes, let me tell you about the one who changed my life. Can I just tell you something? They probably listened. What about us? God wants us to be a witness. What is a witness? A witness testifies to that which he has experienced, seen, and knows to be true. Well, if you know Jesus Christ, we can all be a witness. If you start living for God, and sometimes maybe we get saved in life later and things are going different in your life, there's people who can come up and say, hey, what is going on with you? You seem, now you're not, hopefully you haven't been hanging out in graveyards, okay? But they may look and say, you know, there's something a little different about you. I just can't place my finger on it. And if you're embarrassed, you might say, you know, I'm just trying to get my act together. That's the wrong answer. You ought to say, you know what's different about me? If there's anything different about me at all, God's just trying to work in my life. Right. They're like, now if you haven't talked to them for a while, they're going to look at you like, huh? I remember a girl called me back. I started living for God, and I got rid of all my old friends. And there was a girl I dated before, and she called me, hey, why don't you come over, blah, 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 blah. And she hadn't heard from me for a while, and I wasn't going to go over there. I didn't want to be involved in anything. But I just listened to her while I'm like, I got to tell her I'm a Christian. I got to tell her. And she was talking for a while. You know how women are. They just talk. But she was talking, and she said, hey, what have you been doing lately? And I thought, there's my on-ramp. I said, I got saved. I'm going to church. It was kind of quiet. You know, it's like, and I started talking to her a little bit. You know, she had to go. But it's like, look, I had to tell us there's something different about me. When I used to be in high school, I didn't go to high school. I ditched a lot. Okay? I knew everything already, so I didn't need to go. High school was just a place to go to meet my friends and whatever. And I did go to the shop classes. Okay, you know, wood shop, metal shop, print shop. Those were fun. I went to a couple other, but I ditched most of them. But I would go across the street. There was a guy I hung around with, a Filipino family right on the corner at the Rebelitos, David and Robert. I hung around with them a lot. And Dave had, his bedroom was the garage. They had I'd hung out there. And there was another guy. He actually worked my mom work, and he was an old hippie guy, and he another Filipino guy. Bad influence, Filipino, stay away. But, and I hung around with him. And I remember after I started going to church, I got saved. The first thing I did on Tuesday night or church, I went out to church soul winning. I took a guy. I said, we're going to talk to my hippie guy. Do you remember the Rebelitos, right? They were bad guys, but no. And I went to his house, and I went there, was there for about an hour and a half, just witnessed to him, told him about how my life was different. The other guys across the street, I brought them to church. Just tried to say, hey, you know what? I'm different now. I want to be a witness of what God was doing. It wasn't perfect, but God wants us to do that. Amen. Why else does God help us so we can be a witness and so we can work? What does that mean? Just serve the Lord. Just find my place. By the way, we call that in our church ministry. We have so many things around here, and everything really is revolved around the end game of helping other people. Amen. Say, how does working in the nursery help other people? It keeps those beautiful, young, little, smelling good babies in another room so people that come here can hear what's going on. Right. People that serve in the children's ministry so they can hear something geared to their age. But God wants us to work for him. We've went over the verses before in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. It talks about being saved. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God says, go work for me so that we have the opportunity to tell people what we can do for them, what God can do for them. We don't work to get saved, amen? But some people, they stop right there. But we work for God because we are saved. Because we are saved, say, Lord, what can I do for you? That's what God wants us to do. Whose life could we make a difference in if we're just willing to stand up and encourage them that there's something better out there for them? You know, they're not, now some people see our church and something's going on in their life and maybe they get a track on their door and they just stop by, God prompts them. But a lot of times, there's somebody that's prompting them to go to something that is better. I'll tell you the story. I mentioned many years ago. But in London, there was a great preacher. His name was Cesar Millan. And the city there had like a civic function, not a church function, but they had a civic function. They invited all the big wigs in the city. Well, he was a well-known preacher at that time, so they invited him to come. And he went there, and they had dinner, and they had a program or whatever. But a lady got up to sing, and it was not a worldly tune or whatever, but she wasn't Christian. She sang, and her voice was just very beautiful. And after the meeting, this preacher went up to her and introduced himself, and she introduced her name. I think her name was Charlotte. And he said, you know, I was just thinking while you were singing, if you would just trust Jesus Christ, God could really use your voice. And he took it a step further. He goes, you know what? You're a sinner just the same as someone living on the street, someone living in great sin. You're just as great a sinner, but the Lamb of God came to die for your sin. Wish you would trust him. She got offended. She walked away. That night, she couldn't sleep. And all that witnessing he did to her started playing on her mind. And because of that, she ended up trusting Christ. And of that conversation, she sat down and she wrote the hymn we all use today. We use it for invitation, just as I am without one plea. You know, what changed her life? Because someone challenged her to something better. You know what God wants us to do if we're saved? He wants us to go share that good news with others. Someone look, yeah, and by the way, never be embarrassed. You go to church, say, you know what? It's more than going to church. I know Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's done great things in my life. And you know what? He can do great things in your life. Yeah, see, that's the starting point. Yep. God has done great things in our life so that we can go out and do what we can to share what he's done in our life to make a difference in someone else's life. Amen. Let's all stand this morning.